I got up this morning and I had asked the Lord, you know, just to show me some things, and he had brought me to this chapter 3 of Acts, and so that's where we're going to look at this morning. And as we had talked yesterday just about the peace of the Lord, you know, the peace of the Lord, and how it's such a wonderful gift through His Holy Spirit that He would, you know, that 14th chapter of John would talk about how Jesus was preparing His disciples to leave. You know, he was gonna go, and he said, "Don't be afraid." You know, he begins that chapter, "Don't be afraid. I'm preparing a place for you. Don't be afraid. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Right? And then later on in verse 27, he tells us that he's going to leave his peace. He's going to give us his peace. Not as the world would give peace, but as he would. So there was this different, this contrasting peace. And so then I got thinking about Peter and this lame man and him just, you know, walking to the temple. And remember, this is, you know, if we had taken the time and looked at chapter 2, Peter would have give this tremendous blessing of a message that was filled with scripture, and it was a challenging message to those that heard, right? And it was all Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit had come upon them, and He had just poured out His everything in this message, and God gave them some tremendous blessings in the scripture to share with them, and then we see the church just flourish. You know, we see 3,000 come forward and believe, you know, and we go, "Wow, that's so much." And you know, so as we see that, something happened. I am convinced that when the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, he was just, it was no longer Peter, you know. This guy that we knew I think it was Keith that was saying that when Jesus first met him, he didn't really believe, right? Like when Jesus first met all of us, we didn't really believe until we did. But we see his faults all the way through the scripture as he walked with Jesus, as he was on the sea and he sunk down into the sea and his faith let him down. But now the Holy Spirit had captured his heart. And this man was changed because of the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that even though we see goofiness out of Peter even after this, right? We see some acts in the flesh even after this. I think there's something with Peter that changed with him, and it was due to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Not only was he preaching a great message that we look at today and we say, "This makes sense, right? This is awesome what he's saying." But he was taking that message and applying it to his life. And the boldness that was coming from the Holy Spirit allowed him to do things that we would think, "Why would you ask that person that? Or why would you say that to that person?" You know, when God gives you an, you know, His Spirit pricks us to do something. You know, so often when we get the urge to do something, we go, you know, maybe it's what I ate for supper is, you know, influencing me or whatever. But it's like God is pricking us with His Holy Spirit to step out, right? And usually what happens is that our response is abnormal to everybody else. You know, why would you say such a thing to somebody? Right? Why would you start talking to a stranger? Why would you help somebody that nobody else would even look at. You know, why would you do that? Well, within our own means, we're not going to do that. Let's be honest. We want to live comfortably. We don't want to be embarrassed. Right? We don't want to look like the oddball out. But the Holy Spirit gives us this unction inside us that allows us to walk into somebody's life, to actually express to him and or her and show them who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit allows us to do that. Because within ourselves, let's face it, we are not able to do that. No matter how much we say we love him, in the flesh isn't usually willing. So here we are, chapter 3, and we have this lame man that always has been at the temple. He's been there for years. But look at it, it starts out, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said to him, 'Look at us.'" You know, it's a as we think of Levi, right? I know that the surgery is to heal him physically and to do those, you know, to help him physically. But there's things this lame man and Levi needs more than any physical, anything physical, you know. Sometimes we pray for the physical, but they need the spiritual. They need a relationship with Christ. Right? And it's interesting here, because how many times has this man been at the temple? It says a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, he was always lame, whom they laid daily at the gate. He was there daily. Every day he was there. Do you think John and Peter ever walked by him? Absolutely. And knowing Peter, he thought he was a failure every time he walked by him. He was kind of like, "Oh man, I blew it again. I walked by him again. This is day number whatever, 3046. You know, and I walked by him again, going to the temple. And we do that. We see things over and over and again. And the Lord allows us to walk by them until we're ready to allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. You know, because all of us that are saved have that Spirit, have the ability, have the power to actually speak into that person's life. And he walked by that man this day, and it says there that he fixed his eyes upon him. King James says that he fastened his eyes upon him. That's a little more intimate, I think. You know, when I think of fastening, I think of nut and bolts. You know, I take this piece of wood or metal, and I take another piece of wood, and I take a bolt, and I just fasten them together. There's no way to get them apart other than unfastening. You know, it takes some big effort to be able to pull them apart. And Peter says, I fastened my eyes on him. Or the Scripture says that Peter fastened his eyes upon him. It's like, wow, you know, that's like he's intimate with him. He's actually, God gave him the ability through his Spirit to see this man differently, to love this man more intimately. You know, he was fastened on him. He could see this man, and he thought, what worth is in this man? And he looked at him differently, and he thought, this man is worth something, right? And that's what God does to us. He fixes our eyes on us, and he says, he's attached to us. As his children, he is attached to us in such a way that he understands everything about us. It's a very intimate thing. with the Lord. He understands our abilities. He understands our inabilities. Maybe they outweigh the abilities. They usually do. And He understands that. And that's why He gives us the Spirit. Why? Because we cannot accomplish what He has intended for us without the Spirit of God. We don't have the boldness. You know? Matter of fact, our boldness often looks very foolish. We need the boldness of the Lord. So He fixes His eyes on Him. He understands what this man's potential is through the Lord. That the Lord has a purpose here for this man that's lame. It's interesting that you brought up Levi, isn't it? Did the Lord know this today? He knew that I was going to teach out of Acts 3 before I even knew it. You know? You know, He knew that before you even shared about Levi. But He said, He in verse 5, so He gave them His attention. You got to believe that nobody else had given Him this type of fixation, you would say, upon Him that Peter had done. You know, so here's this guy. He understands. He gets the sincerity of Peter. Look at us. Look at us. Peter says, I want you to see something. That's what he's saying, right? He's saying, Peter's saying, Mister, I want you to see something in us. Right? Look at us. Stinky old fishermen. The value in us is Christ. Right? He's our value. That's the reason why you want people to look at us is because Christ is here within us. Because we're His. The Holy Spirit has taken residence in us. And He gave them their attention, expecting to receive something from them. He expected something that He perhaps maybe always received from people. A little change from their pocket or whatnot. But see, God is, you know, God wants more for people than to be financially secure. He wants more for people than to feel comfortable. You know, if you feel comfortable, you better pray because, you know, I think in our flesh we just want the comforts, you know. When the heat is at a certain temperature, when the coolness in the summer in our homes at a certain temperature, you know. We want that comfort level. We don't want to sweat, but we don't want to freeze. And the same thing, you know, when we're talking to people like they're, you know, what gain can the kingdom have with that person? But see, the Holy Spirit had changed Peter's heart that day and he had looked at this man differently. And the man knew it. He knew the sincerity of Peter's heart and he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something. And then Peter said, I know what you're thinking you're going to receive from us. But I want to make it clear that that's not what you're going to receive from us. There's something better. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And yes, he raised up and he walked physically. But there was even more to it than that, that Jesus wanted to give him. And it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and pleasing God, and praising God while I was pleasing as well. And all the people saw him and walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who was begging for alms at the gate beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, the amazement was in the physical. The amazement that this man was brought, you know, was healed. His bones, in a sense, received strength. His ankles and so forth, and he was able to walk and rise up and walk. And as the people saw this, they were enamored by the physical, but that wasn't the miracle here. That really wasn't the thing that we should be impressed with. I think what comes after this is what's even better yet. It says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which was called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" Peter says, "Look, I'm not quite sure why you guys are so amazed in the power. Isn't the power of God real to you? Don't be amazed also at us. We're mere men. It's not the reason why this has happened is not because of us." In other words, he was given God the credit there. Sorry. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted for you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses. So he says, "Look at this is the one that you crucified. This is the Holy One that did this. This is the God, the Prince of Life, that did this. And by the way, we are just his witnesses," meaning, we, you know, when we talk about glorifying the Lord, that's how we glorify the Lord. We're his witnesses, right? Get this, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all of you. See, it was more than a healing. It was more than just a healing, a physical healing here, a physical bringing together these bones and strengthening these ankles. It was more than that. It says here that, yes, the faith that comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness. What does that mean? It means peace. You know? Given him perfect peace. Healings only bring about a peace for a short period of time, then we forget about it. But the peace that Jesus says in John chapter 14, he says, "My peace I give you," that is an everlasting peace. So we can have healing services. We can see people get healed. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that they come into relationship with Jesus Christ and they experience through their faith and trust in Him this perfect soundness that can only be experienced when we received Him or when we're born again. He says, this perfect soundness is what you see, folks, in front of you. It's not a healed lame man. This man was lame in spirit, and now he has peace. He has peace. Think of the ridicule that he probably went through as he sat there day after day. And everybody was willing to give him a dollar here and a dollar there, or a denarii there, or whatever the shekel here, or whatever the currency was. They were, maybe even a loaf of bread. They were willing to do that. But that will not sustain anybody. Because you can go back a year later and say, "Where's the money that I've given you? Where's the bread that I've given you? Where's the clothing that I've given you?" And guess what they're going to say? "I don't know. It's gone." Right? But when you lead them to the Lord Jesus and He gives you and He fills them because they have trusted in Him with, you know, and He's filled them with His Spirit and they have the peace of God. Right? What more do they want? What more do they need? That's it. Right? Verse 17, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance." You didn't know any better. "As did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled." And then he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." This man was refreshed by the Lord. And Peter said, this is the process, repentance. Repent, turning away from sin and being converted, where our lives we're changed. Our hearts are changed, you know. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, all things are made new, right? We're made new by that. It's awesome. From what? From the presence of the Lord. That refreshing. So that times of refreshing. That's why we can be refreshed by the presence of the Lord. Because we've repented and been converted. We don't give people a recipe of success through physical means. Because eventually they will fail. And then all of a sudden their peace is gone. Because either they didn't follow the recipe, our recipe was faulty, our procedures were faulty, and because man fails. But God gives us peace. You know, I was thinking about Philippians chapter 4. there's so many people that don't have peace today. Paul would say in 4:4 in Philippians, he'd say, "Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice." I think Paul could have said that over and over again. He understood the importance of all the gifts that the Lord has given us. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The peace of God. Paul had the peace of God. Paul did too. Because as we looked at yesterday, as Paul and Silas was in that prison, in the inner prison, in Acts chapter 16 there, where he was in the inner prison, and the most horrible place for any human to be, right? And he was thrown in there. Yeah, him and Silas just poured out their praises and thanksgiving to the Lord. And just as Peter would say, "Look at us. You know, look at us." What was he saying? Look at the peace of God in our lives. Right? Paul and Silas was singing praises and honoring the Lord, it says, at midnight, which is the darkest hour of the day. In their darkest hour, they were praising the Lord, giving Him thanksgiving. And it says there that the prisoners were listening to them. They were a witness to the prisoners of what? Of God's peace in their lives. Not that they were wonderful singers. I wondered how bad or how good Paul and Silas were as singers, how we would rate them. Right? But I don't think they cared. You know why? Because they were focused. They had purpose in their singing. They were singing. It says there they were singing to God. They weren't singing to the audience. They weren't, you know, wanting. Matter of fact, it says that the chains and whatnot were released. The stocks, they were released out of the stocks. The doors of the prison were opened. And when the guard there woke up, so were they singing lullabies? Because he was sleeping through all their singing. Right? He woke up. They said, "Wait a minute." Because he was going to kill. He had no peace. He was going to kill himself because he understood the repercussion of all these prisoners being gone out of the prison. So he understood that. And he had no peace and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "Wait a minute. We're all here." All them prisoners were listening. We're witnessing the peace of God in these two men's lives during this awful time of their life. People are watching you. They're watching me. And they're gonna wonder who is giving you peace. Is the world giving you peace? Or is Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, has He implanted His peace in you? Because Jesus says, He's telling His disciples in John chapter 14, "I am leaving, but I'm giving you my peace." The thing is that we have to receive it. So any gift from God, God can mount up the presence, right? But if we're not willing to take it, then we're no better off. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit comes all sorts of gifts. Are we ready to receive what He has for us? That means a lot, because what it says about us is that we're willing to lay aside everything that we think, all of our manifestations that we have, we're going to lay aside to take upon ourselves those gifts that He gives us. The gift of peace. I don't know. Do you struggle with peace? Struggle with anxieties? Struggle with worrying about things? Then ask the Lord. He can do it today. He can straighten our peace out today because He's a giver of peace. He never wanted His disciples to feel alone. He was leaving. But He was sending it. There in chapter 14, it talks about the helper, the comforter coming, right? He says, it's coming. It's going to be with you, and my peace I leave with you. And the Holy Spirit always works with the Son. The Trinity, you know, works in unison, right? And the Holy Spirit is just, okay, Jesus, You gave the peace. We're going to instill that peace in people that are willing to receive that gift. And I think if we're having trouble with peace, then we're not looking to the One that holds eternal peace in His hands and is willing to give it to us. We can try a lot of things on our own. We can change the situation. We can drive halfway across the country to think that that new experience is just going to fulfill us. It's going to give us joy, going to give us peace. It won't. We can change jobs. We can do things differently in the physical. We can go from making a little money to a lot of money. All those things. Peter says, silver and gold, I have none. Right? But what he had to offer was the peace of God to this man. So Adam's going to come up and share with us communion. But first, let's pray. Then it's all yours. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful love and for Your peace, Lord, that surpasses all of our understanding. We're so thankful, Lord, that You do give us understanding for the moments that we're in. When we're, you know, when we come upon the lame man, Lord, or whatever the situation is, Lord, that You give us insight into that situation, Lord, and that we can respond according to the Spirit because You have touched our hearts. And Father, thank You for the witness that You have given us, the responsibility to be that witness amongst those that are in need of Your peace, that they would see peace in our lives, Lord, that they would, you know, that we would be a reflection of who You are to them. Give us the boldness, Father, to reach out to those that are hurting, that just need You, Lord, and give us opportunities this week, Lord, to glorify You in that, Lord. May You be honored and glorified, Lord, in all that we do. And we just praise You and we thank You, Father, for Your goodness in our lives, Father. Thank You for the wonderful gift that You have given us in peace, Lord. That You that we don't have to worry about anything, Lord. That You do it all, Lord. We just have to ask and You will respond graciously, Lord, to us. And we ask You, Lord, to bless the rest of our time, Lord, as we remember what You did for us upon the cross, Lord, and how You gave us victory over sin. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.